The letter B. Banshee. The ancient legend of the banshee is centered in the mists of Ireland. The word banshee originates from a Celtic word that means woman of the fairy. And by varying accounts, banshees appear in the form of tiny, bent old hags with wild white hair, or of towering, slender young women with flowing long white hair. What banshees are most noted for, though, is their piercing, unearthly wail, said to break glass for miles around, alerting families to the death of a relative. I love quaint cultural myths, don't you? It was 1978, and I was on my first trip to Ireland. Everything about it enchanted me, and everything about it still does, by the way. It had been a long trip with several personal appearance stops along the way, and while my then husband had no trouble falling asleep right after dinner, I was still in some other time zone on some kind of adrenaline overload and decided to leave the hotel and go for a calming evening walk. I know you don't have to be psychic to feel an almost reverent sense of history in countries as ancient and as passionate towards its ancestry as Ireland. I was so preoccupied with the almost palpable images of the Celts and the Vikings and the farmers and the poor famine victims that I barely noticed the small shops closing for the night, the thick fog rolling in, and the scenery around me becoming more rural. What shocked me back to reality was a sound I'll never forget in this lifetime. It was the most deafening, tortured, unearthly scream I ever hoped to hear. So sharp, it felt as if it penetrated me to the pit of my stomach. I looked around, frantic, trying to pinpoint where it was coming from, but the fog diffused it into a million sound bites so that it seemed to be coming from everywhere. For a split second, I thought it must be someone in agonizing pain, but I've heard the pain of childbirth and the pain of horrible death, and they paled in comparison. It's an understatement to say I don't scare easily. I've seen, heard, felt, and experienced far too much since the day I was born to be frightened by much of anything. But I have no trouble admitting that that awful scream in the fog on that night in Ireland terrified me. I'm not even sure my feet touched the ground as I ran back to the hotel, and before I knew it, I was in my room, crying and still trembling, waking my husband to tell him what happened. Both sides of his family were Irish, for as many generations back as anyone had bothered to trace. He barely sat up and only half opened his eyes as I gasped out the details of what had happened. When I finished, he mumbled, almost bored, "You probably heard the banshee," and went right back to sleep. "Thank you," I thought, glaring at the back of his head. "Thank you very much. You've been very helpful. That explains everything." He slept like a baby all night long. I couldn't even get my eyes to close. A banshee? Obviously, I'd heard of them without it ever occurring to me that there might actually be such a thing. And I still wasn't convinced. That horrifying scream was still echoing in my ears, but I knew there had to be a more logical explanation than, "You probably heard the banshee." The next morning, I was sitting down for breakfast in the small restaurant bar when I heard the barman say to one of the locals at the next table, "Did you hear Mrs. O'Flaherty died last night?" "No, poor thing, what happened?" "Heart attack," her son said. "Very sudden," the barman told him. 83 years old, bless her heart." I was eavesdropping on this with increasing interest. Finally, my curiosity got the best of me and I leaned toward them. "Excuse me, I couldn't help overhearing," I said. "This woman who passed away, do you happen to know where she lived?" The Irish in general are friendly and happy to chat. Irish barmen elevate it to an art form. "Mrs. O'Flaherty, not even a mile from here, just on the edge of town. Lovely house, too. Her great-grandfather built it." I'm sure it was an interesting story, but at the moment, I had something much more pressing on my mind. By any chance, did her son mention what time she died? "He did, in fact. He was on the phone with her when it happened. How's that for a shock?" "The stroke of 9:30, he said. 9:30. I'd looked at the clock shortly after getting back to my hotel room the night before. It read a minute or two past 10 o'clock. I swear to you, I really, really tried to piece all this together and make logical sense of it based on everything I knew as a psychic, as a college graduate, and as a devout researcher. If banshees really existed, fine, but what were they? Where did they come from? And where did they fit into the realm of the spirit world? And if they didn't exist, that still left the question of the source of that unimaginable, unspeakable, soul-shattering scream. So I did what I always do when my best efforts have left too many holes in the story. I summoned my ultimate reliable source. And as always, my spirit guide, Francine, came to the rescue. According to Francine, the shrill keening of the banshee that's been echoing through the Irish countryside for hundreds and hundreds of years is actually a lightning-in-a-bottle collaboration between earthly physics and the spirit world. As a spirit leaves its body on Earth, it changes dimensions, traveling in a brilliant flash from our lower frequency to the much faster, much more high-pitched frequency of the other side. It often sends strong telepathic signals to loved ones as it goes, to alert them and bid them a temporary farewell. And those signals have to change dimensions too, to reach their intended receivers on Earth. Powerful telepathic energy, changing frequencies at blinding speed, is enough to cause the effect of a shrill scream all by itself, sometimes even audible to the human ear. But add the factor of the truly extraordinary Irish fog, which fills the air with enough moisture to conduct and amplify that energy, and it's no wonder the legend of the banshee will always haunt that beautiful, mystical land.